So we're in a series of firm foundations. We've been talking about the foundation from the how we lay a foundation. Like, we don't just put it on the topsoil. We don't put it on a bunch of sod. We don't put it on a bunch of fill dirt. But we dig down to something solid. And so over the last few weeks, we've been talking about finding that foundation, building, pouring the concrete, building up. Last week, we talked about the floor level. We have to eventually get to the floor level. And we talked about unity and maturity. We're walking towards unity as a body of believers, and we're walking toward maturity as we journey along in our walk with Christ. Today we're talking about the floor plan. You know what's really important to have a floor plan when you start building something? It's very important. You have to start prioritizing. What do we want where? I very seldom walk in the front door of a house and have to walk through the bathroom to get to the living room. It usually doesn't happen, right? But you would want to plan, where do we want the living room? Where do we want the dining room? Where do we want the kitchen? And usually you don't have to cross from the kitchen through three of the bedrooms to get to the dining room, right? Because the floor plan was thought out. And as Christians, of course, we're in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 right now. That's what we're studying. And Christ lays out for us in Ephesians chapter 4, like, Christian living. He gives us the floor plan. This is how you should operate. This should be your base. So, spiritually speaking, in our lives, our floor plan should be our base of operation. What should be the priorities that I'm pursuing in my life? What should I give first place in my life? In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to pick up at verse 17. The title of this passage is called Instructions for Christian Living. How do we get a good floor plan for our lives? Ephesians 4, 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. So we can no longer live according to how we used to before we knew Christ. We can no longer go our own way. We can no longer live in sin. We can no longer align our lives with what we think is great and perfect and wonderful. But rather, we have to start aligning with what God says should be priority in our life. What should be first place? And the futility of thinking is useless thinking. We shouldn't give our time to useless thinking, like thinking that the Cowboys are ever going to win the Super Bowl. Like, that's useless thinking. Like, that's just for Pastor Kelly, who's down in Texas now, and when he listens to this, he'll giggle at me. So that was personal just for him. But there's lots of things in our lives we can give useless thinking to. Like, maybe government would be one of those on the list, unless we're actually going to go and engage as an ambassador, as a senator, as a representative, as a congressman, as a governor itself, as a state representative at the national level. Unless we're actually going to go do that, we can spend a lot of useless mind time, thinking time, on thinking about the government and how horrible it is and what they can't fix and what they won't fix and what they will do or won't do. And we can't help that. But maybe at the local level, we could become the mayor of the city or a councilman that begins steering those things in our local sphere of influence. And maybe eventually we could climb to the state level, and if God would call us, climb to the national level, and if God would call us, climb to maybe a world stage level. Because some of us, that is our calling. That's what God has asked us to do. But there's lots of useless thinking we can do. Whether or not it's going to rain or snow tomorrow. I mean, it might depend whether you leave 20 minutes early for work or an hour early for work. But other than that, God's in control of the weather. And it's spring in Idaho. Just wait 5 minutes. It'll change. Right? You can have like all four seasons in a weekend or an hour. But we can waste a lot of our time thinking about what's the weather going to do. Is it snow, rain, sunshine? And you can make some plans around it, but don't waste all your time just strewing on it and thinking about it. Matthew 6, verse 33 gives us a little instruction of what one of our priorities should be. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And before that in the passage, it's talking about, well, what will we eat? What will we wear? Where will we live? What kind of house will we have? And they're worried about all their day-to-day things. And Jesus tells them, first priority, when you walk in the grand entrance of your spiritual life, your foyer, should be seeking the kingdom of God first. The foyer of your life should be seeking the kingdom of God first. And he says, and I will add all those other things to you. I will take care of your needs. And he goes on to say, I even take care of the flowers of the field, and they wilt and wither in a day. And I even take care of the sparrows and bring them food. How much more do I care for you, and will I take care of you? But we first, on your floor plan, I hope right inside your front door, is seek the kingdom of God first. And the kingdom of God isn't always making sense to this world. And that's why it starts out, I insist on it in the Lord that you no longer live as the Gentiles, no longer pursuing what maybe this world would think is important, but pursuing what God thinks is important, which he tells us there is godly righteousness. What is right living before the Lord? And what does that look like for you? To our useless thinking, the word gives us some things that we should think about. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Boy, the foyer of my mind should be filled with this list of things that I'm thinking about. What is true? What's true in your world? I believe true is the word of God, is truth, and true. It's infallible. It's not been proven wrong. Hold on to what is true. Think about true. Think about the word of God. How does it apply to my day, my life, my situations? Think about whatever is noble. What is noble? Don't think about whatever is evil. Don't think about whatever is wrong. Don't think about, oh, I left my phone on in church again. Was that you? I knew it wasn't. But think about noble things. Think about whatever is right. We can always find something wrong, but look for something right. What do we think about that is right in the world today? The first one that comes to my mind is God's still in control. I don't care what it looks like on the news. God is still in control. God is still Lord over all. And I don't care what's going on or what's happening. God stays and remains in control. Think about that. Like, God, I don't understand. I don't recognize. I don't see how this is ever going to work out. This looks like a total mess. This looks like a high mountain yard sale, which means your string of mules just blew up because you ran into bees and now you have gear scattered everywhere. Like, it looks bad. Sometimes life looks bad. Sometimes our circumstances, our situations look awful. It's, God, how can we ever put this back together again? Even in that moment, God is still in control. Think about that. And God, you say you send us your Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and counsel in our time of need or when we reach the end of our own intelligence. And he will give us wisdom that is not of this earth. That's his kingdom's wisdom that we can't get on our own, but his Holy Spirit gives it to us in those moments. Think about that. That's right. Whatever is pure, Does anybody ever walk around thinking about dirt earrings? Nobody? Dirt jewelry? No. How about gold earrings? How about gold jewelry? Because it's pure. In our mind, we should think about things that are pure and holy before God. In our minds, think about whatever is lovely. What is lovely? Have your mind thinking of that instead of useless things. How am I going to get my neighbor back? I threw a chunk of wood in my lawn. What am I going to do to him or her or them? That's something that's not lovely, but sometimes we waste our mind thinking about such things. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Don't waste your time, but rather forgiveness is pure. It's not easy sometimes, but it's pure. It's right. And to God, it's lovely because it brings about restoration. Whatever is admirable, what's worth admiring? Think about those things. Fill your mind with these thoughts. Whatever is excellent or praiseworthy. This should be the floor plan of our mind, of our thinking, of our process. It should start from this passage, Philippians 4:8. As we begin to build the floor plan of our life, we have to prioritize what will come first for me and my house. I think for me, tithing is a big one. In Malachi 3:10 through 12, so tithing is a tenth of your earnings, a tenth of your income, a tenth of what God has increased you in. Malachi 3:10 through 12 says it like this. Of course, just before this, they're asking, how are we robbing you, Lord? He says, you're robbing me in your tithes and offering. But in verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. I love in that passage where he says, test me in this. God doesn't often say, test me. But he says, test me in this. And I was taught tithing as a small child. My parents, I mean, it was a principle of God's word that we just grew up with and lived with. And it was like normal life. But when you're organizing your life according to my floor plan belongs to God, like tithing is an upside down principle, like that this world does not talk about. Because 90% of my income is better than 100%, that doesn't mathematically work. Right? It doesn't work. In God's kingdom it works. Outside of his kingdom, 100% is more than 90. But inside of God's kingdom, he says, if you'll seek my kingdom first and my principles and my values and my ways, I will take care of the rest. And at this point in my life, I get to give away more money in tithe and offering a month than I used to make in a month when I started my adult life. Which I think is amazing and wonderful. And God, I want to be more generous. And God, I want to be able to give more to those in need, to orphanages, to widows, to those who are hungry. To ministries, to send people to Israel, to go do work, the work of the kingdom around the globe. But we have to first seek God's kingdom first, and it's not always easy. I've had points in my life where it's like, I could really use that extra 10% right now. But you know, God has been faithful and true and saw us through time and time. I could talk to you for hours about the goodness of God and how he has blessed us. in so, so many ways, spiritual ways, physical ways, financial ways, just unending the goodness of God. I love that. Test me in this. God says, try it. Try me. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and meet your needs according to my riches and not your own. God is so good. I've had 10 cords of firewood show up. I've had a freezer full of meat show up. I've had groceries show up. I've walked out to my truck and had money under my wiper. I mean, just like stuff that doesn't happen normally, right? But the blessing of God, and they had specific things attached to them that said, this is the hand of God blessing you in this moment. So he says, test him. Of course, it talks about the crops and the fields in that point. That was their wealth. That was their income, but that was their business, if you will, their occupation. God will bless you, can bless you, if you seek him first, seek his kingdom above all else in your life. Remember, as we're laying out our floor plan, it is God's will and not my own. God's floor plan for my life doesn't always align with my plan for my life. If I had my plan for my life, I would have a pack of hound dogs. I'd probably be out chasing mountain lions today. One of my greatest joys in life is pursuing hound dogs and game in the woods. But that's my plan, not his plan. Some of you have your own plans. And the plan with God isn't always the easiest path to walk. Sometimes it's the scariest path to walk. But his word says, even when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil because he's with us. And I've faced death. I've laid on my deathbed, thinking I was breathing my last breath that day. I've walked down those paths. It's not all been glorious and wonderful, and except for marriage, of course, that's always been wonderful. Okay, it hasn't. We have a real marriage. We have highs and lows, and we agree and disagree. But overall, we seek God first in what we're doing. And there might be some hard patches, there might be some easy patches. But overall, God is faithful, God is true. God sees us through each and every time. I have to get back to my original verse. Verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. They have dark understanding. Like, it's obscured. It's hard to see in the dark. Anybody else have that problem, or is it just me? It's all of us, right? Unless we have a flashlight, spotlight. If we walk in the darkness, it obscures our vision and our clarity, and we don't have good vision, and we don't see well, and we stumble and bumble and wander. They're separated. This is the part that bugs me about it. They're separated from the life that God has for them and from his presence. Do you know that God has a good plan for your life? God created you with intentionality. God created you for a purpose. The biggest purpose is bringing him glory and honor with our lives. But God has a plan for you. His will, his way is the very best for you. If you'll choose him, if you'll say yes. And when we walk in darkness, we're separated from that. Four individuals today said, hey, I want to be baptized. At some point in their life, they said, I don't want to walk in darkness anymore. I want to walk with Christ. I want to walk in the light. I want to walk in his plan for my life. I want to walk in his presence with my life. That's awesome. The word says all of heaven rejoices. More when one accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior than all of our righteousness as believers in him put together. Heaven rejoices. Heaven's excited. At youth camp, heaven got excited. Probably each and every day, somewhere around the globe, people are accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior, and heaven rejoices over them. The next part of verse 18 was they walk in their ignorance. Ignorance is ignoring. It's the ostrich in the sand, if you will, tucking his head. Nope, doesn't exist, not happening to me. Don't be ignorant. We are filled in all kinds of knowledge that you can dive into. But you have to be intentional and go out and do it. Don't allow your hearts to become hard. Keep a tender, soft, pliable heart that keeps saying yes to God, even in hard situations. Stay tender. Verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Don't lose your sensitivity to the Spirit. Do not be given over to your flesh or your physical desires. Do not indulge in impurities. Do not become full of greed. Verse 20. That, however, is not the way of life you have learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. That was 20 and 21. But a life of darkness is not for you. You have the ability to learn. You have the ability to grow and develop into the man and woman God has called you to be. Don't stay where you currently are. Verse 21 is listen, be teachable. The truth is in Jesus and his word. We have to listen, be intentional about it. We have to learn, we have to apply ourselves, we have to be teachable. Are you teachable? I coach baseball. I love kids that are teachable. Like, what do I need to do, coach? How can I improve my swing? How can I improve my throw? How can I improve my catch? And some kids, I already know how to do that. But I've been that kid. Like, don't worry, God, I got this. Yeah, I don't need any help, God. And then I'm laying in a mud puddle upside down going, God, help! He's like, thought you didn't need my help, Arby. He says, no, I do. You get my dirt bike off me. Anybody else do that? Maybe it's just me. Sometimes I'm not teachable. Sometimes I'm stubborn. Sometimes I have a hard heart. And you know what? God says, all right, you didn't learn last time. Let's go around the mountain again, Arby. Okay, you didn't learn last time. Let's go around. God is patient. He is so gracious with us. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to get to the point where I learned the first time. Like, try to be teachable the first time. I mean, the Israelites wandered the desert that he was just looking at for 40 years because they wouldn't learn, because they were unteachable, because they were stubborn, stiff-necked, hard-hearted. God had promised them the promised land, flowing with milk and honey, abundant, lush, green grass, rivers, streams. He had promised and given it to them. But because of the hardness of their heart, a generation had to die off so that the next generation could go in and inherit what God had given to them. What promises in your life has God spoke over you that you're not currently inheriting because of the hardness of your heart, because you're unteachable? But God's like, man, I have this for you, Arby. But if you won't become teachable, I'm going to have to wait and pass it on to your children. Let's not be a generation like those Israelites in the desert. I'm going to read 22, 23, and 24. That's for the computer people. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So our old life, we should put that off. Like, that's who Arby was. That's not who he is or who he's going to be. That is part of my past. Yeah, I made some mistakes. I have sin in my past. I walked and wallowed in sin in my past. But I've asked forgiveness. I've repented. And that's not who I am anymore. But I'm moving forward in what Christ has for me. Do not become corrupt. Do not become deceived. But rather put on your new mind, the mind of Christ, the new self. You are made in the image and likeness of the Lord God Almighty. Walk in his righteousness. Walk in his holiness. The floor plan of our life should be laid out in God's righteousness and God's holiness. That should be our floor plan of where we start from. I'm going to close there for today. The floor plan of your life, what are your priorities? I've had to navigate my priorities. I've had to change them from time to time. When I became a husband, I had to change my priorities. It took more years than I care to admit. Just being honest. You could ask my wife for verification. I had to change some priorities in my life. When I had children, I had to, again, change some priorities in my life. When I became a pastor instead of a hunting guide, I had to change some priorities in my life. For 3 months of the spring, I coached baseball. I have to change some priorities in my life. Priorities can constantly be moving in our lives. But the first priority in our floor plan of our life should be, seek ye first the kingdom of God in everything we do. Everything has to pass through that entrance to our life. It first has to be seeking God's kingdom and his plan and his righteousness and his holiness for our lives. So as you go about your weeks, be thinking about that in what you're doing, in what you're saying, and how you're prioritizing your day. Am I seeking God's kingdom first in my life? Maybe you don't know what that looks like yet. We're going to keep digging into it over the next few weeks. There's a whole manual, talks about it, gives us great instructions. We can learn, we can be trained. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for your word. God, the truth of your word. I ask, God, that you would use it to illuminate the path before us, God, in the areas that, God, we don't put you first. God, that there would be a shifting in our hearts and our minds. God, that would begin to bring your kingdom to the forefront, God, of our lives. God, that we would serve you, that we would honor you. God, that we would bring you glory. God, in everything that we do, God, everything we think, God, everything we say. But God, that your holiness, your righteousness, God, would be the front doors of our lives. God, that we would, God, just bring you glory and honor in everything we do. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.